Welcome to the Strategy Driven Podcast, Independent Assessors. Hi, I'm Nathan Ives. Along with my co-host, Howard Dickens, we would like to welcome you to this edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, Independent Assessors. The Strategy Driven Podcast focuses on the tools and techniques executives and managers can use to improve their organization's alignment and accountability to ultimately achieve better results. These podcasts elaborate on the best practice and warning flag posts found on the Strategy Driven website at www.strategydriven.com. This podcast examines the best practice of using independent assessors during the performance of a strategic analysis, thereby bringing unbiased knowledge and experience to the evaluation in order to strengthen the resulting conclusions, recommendations, and decisions. So now, without further delay, let's get started.
Hi, Nathan. This is Howard. How you doing, buddy?
Howard, I'm doing great. How are you tonight?
Hey, I am doing super-tastic. Good to hear your voice. It's been a while since we've spoken.
Well, it has been. It has been. I hope our listeners will forgive us. It's been a particularly busy time lately, and I know we've cut back here to every other week for a podcast, which we'll probably go for just a little bit yet, and then, of course, we'll make the effort to get back to once a week. When our lives kind of settle down, mine probably in particular.
Well, hopefully our listeners have really been reviewing the podcasts that are on Strategy Driven and really taking a lot of good notes.
Well, I hope so. You know, I was really pleased. It was 2 days ago now. We had a 300 feed download day. All of our podcasts within the first couple days of release are getting well over 300 plays. So I'm really excited because our volume of listeners keeps going up. You know, on Podcast Alley, we finished with a ranking of number 5 for the month of March. So not quite as good as February's number 3 spot. So I still want to encourage everyone to get out there and vote for us on Podcast Alley. I think we're currently the number 2 spot, but it's early in the month of April. And of course, one more plug. Of course, the iTunes still doesn't have listeners' feedback yet, and we love feedback. We love feedback that's public, especially when it's positive.
Absolutely. Yes. So feedback. Listeners, give us feedback on iTunes.
Yeah. And, of course, everyone can send us feedback at podcast@strategydriven.com. And, you know, if we'd love to hear from you if there's something that Howard and I can do to improve our content, or, you know, if there's any topics you'd just like us to get to a little sooner than what we might have on our current schedule, we can skip around and meet requests as well. So that's always open for our listeners. Yeah.
Oh, that's good, Nathan. That's really good. Now, Nathan, in our last podcast, we talked about the best practice of employing a devil's advocate during the performance of strategic analysis in order to compensate for potential groupthink and to strengthen the conclusions, recommendations, and decisions made by thoroughly assessing and challenging the data and logic behind the analysis. Now,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sensing that the best practice will be taking about or talking about in this podcast is the use of independent assessors in support of a strategic analysis. Now, somehow I believe this helps us to improve the analysis in these same ways. Am I right?
Oh, you're absolutely right, Howard. The use of independent assessors during the performance of a strategic analysis is, in fact, targeted at helping us to strengthen the analysis outcomes by leveraging different perspectives and different knowledge of those individuals.
Now, you're simply saying a strategic analysis benefits from outside experience and perspective.
That's right. An individual's perception of circumstances and events is largely shaped by his or her knowledge and experience, beliefs, values, and biases. In the organizational setting, this perception is influenced by the organization's shared history and its culture. Mm-hmm. Additionally, event perception is often limited by an individual's finite, relevant knowledge and experience. Mm-hmm. But to be fully effective, a strategic analysis must go beyond these impairments and limitations of the individuals within the organization when we're doing this assessment of internal events and performance, as well as impactful external circumstances.
Hmm.
So considering the performance of a strategic analysis, we're seeking to provide a very critical, very broad examination of the company's internal performance and external environmental conditions. Because they don't share or participate in the organization's culture, independent assessors are able to perform this assessment in a manner that is not filtered by the organization's culture.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, independent assessors can bring additional experiences and an array of knowledge that isn't resident within the organization. Both of these factors begin to highlight why organizations would benefit by using independent assessors when performing their strategic analysis.
Hmm. Well, now that's great, Nathan. Now, but isn't there a softer reason for using independent assessors?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really seems that the reasons we've talked about are fairly academic or knowledge-based.
You're absolutely right, Howard. And there are softer reasons for using independent assessors. Individuals performing a strategic analysis are just as human as you and I are. Subsequently, relationships with superiors, peers, and subordinates will both have a positive and potentially strained influence on the individual's perception of performance. Individuals are also concerned with others' perceptions of their performance and with their ability to maintain their livelihoods.
Mm.
So one's judgment is going to be pressured by the analysis conclusions that would in some way negatively impact them. And this is really not to suggest that anyone would consciously attempt to mislead or to mischaracterize findings in this type of self-assessment or any self-assessment for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
It is to suggest that we as individuals perceive things in a way that is filtered by our beliefs and our values,
mm-hmm.
which most often are shaped to our personal benefit, and that it is that filtered perception that could in fact yield a less than optimal analysis result.
Now that makes sense, Nathan. And so I guess that because independent assessors are not as much or not as much risk of being as biased as internal assessors, they may have some added credibility with executives and managers.
Well, they do. In fact, while it may sound a bit cliche, I often hear people within an organization comment that they feel if an outside consultant recommends something, that their executives and managers are more likely to believe the consultant and implement the idea than if the same idea was recommended by a member of the organization staff. Yeah. And these comments are often followed by just numerous examples of when this actually happened, when some member of an organization made a perfectly sound recommendation and that recommendation was rejected, only to have a consultant come in a few months later, make the same recommendation, and it was aggressively pursued and embraced by the organization's
Oh,
leadership.
wow.
Yeah,
Yes, I've seen
yeah,
that before.
yeah. And so, what I personally believe is that really speaks to this assigned credibility that we give to consultants based on what is really a perception of their knowledge and unbiased perspective, that we may think that members in our organization don't have.
Now, Nathan, do independent assessors have to be consultants?
Oh, that's a great question, Howard. And this is going to surprise a lot of people, but no, independent assessors do not have to be consultants. While in many instances they will be consultants, third-party assessors could be government inspectors, they could be benchmarking partners, peer mentors from outside organizations, or employees from within the company that come from other business units, departments, or crews. Now, what's important here is that the individual or individuals being brought in to help with the strategic analysis be distant enough from the organization's culture, independent of the relationship structure within the organization being assessed, and not personally impacted by any of the potential outcomes of the conclusions and recommendations of the assessment. It also needs, I think, to be stated that these independent assessors need to have the relevant knowledge and experience to contribute to the areas being evaluated.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. How should independent assessors really be selected?
Well, Howard, independent assessors should be selected based on four primary characteristics, and
Okay.
these include independence, which we've talked about, possession of relevant knowledge and experience, something we've also briefly mentioned, their breadth and depth of knowledge and experience. We'll touch more on that here in a moment, and reputation and trust. So now let's delve into these characteristics just a little bit further. Okay. First, an independent assessor should be independent. Kind of makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, no matter what the source of the individual or individuals, there must exist a separation such that the person is not unduly influenced by the possible outcomes of the assessment. When personal risk or benefit is removed, the individual is more likely to be objective and unbiased, which is really critical to the conduct of an effective assessment. Second, the individual must possess relevant knowledge and experience. The independent assessor must have an appropriate background in order to offer a meaningful contribution to the evaluation. These individuals should possess either industry knowledge and or process knowledge that lends an added dimension to that already existing within the organization being assessed. There's a fine line here between being too broad and too narrow in our inclusion of assessors. And so let's talk about an example of this particular characteristic as an example.
Okay.
Okay. So let's take an airline. Okay. An airline performing an assessment on the effectiveness of its airplane maintenance practices may consider including independent assessors from other airlines. This would give those assessors the same industry knowledge base. We could also bring in independent assessors from, say, a nuclear power plant. Personnel that are performing high-risk nuclear online and complex maintenance on complex systems. Mm-hmm. And again, nuclear plants perform maintenance while they're online, and I don't think anyone would disagree that it's not high risk or the equipment complex. This gives these people the same process knowledge because airplanes are also highly complex pieces of equipment that involve high risk for their maintenance. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a lot of lives are immediately at risk if the airplane fails in flight. If the airline is assessing the performance of a maintenance group at one airport, so now we're narrowing maybe the scope of the assessment a little, it could use personnel from the maintenance group at another airport it services to support the assessment. And in that case, we'll have individuals that have both the same industry and the same process knowledge and experience. The only challenge here, of course, is, again, the assessment is more narrow. It wouldn't be at a corporate level. The third characteristic we said was the breadth of the knowledge and experience the independent assessor. This must be such that the total number of assessors is limited mm-hmm. to a manageable level. So, in other words, you know, I could have an assessor that has the right knowledge and experience, but it's very narrow. If I have a lot of those very narrow knowledge and experience people, I'm going to need a huge number of folks in order to be able to cover the broad range of topic areas to be covered in a strategic assessment. That makes the team size large, and when it becomes large, it gets much, much more difficult to manage. And so it's important that we have a team that has the full breadth and scope of knowledge and experience to perform the strategic assessment.
Okay.
Which means, which is going to mean that instead of having a lot of narrowly focused individuals, we have to have enough breadth in our combination of individuals to balance it with team size.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the fourth characteristic becomes a concern. Or excuse me, the third. The fourth characteristic is we said that the independent assessors must be trusted in order to be credible. And I think this goes to say with our internal folks as well as the external folks, we can't have credibility without trust.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because the independent assessor may not be personally known by those he or she is working with or those to whom he or she is reporting their conclusions, recommendations to, trust is often built on a couple of things, and namely four. The first item is his or her organizational position and the associated knowledge and experience that position represents. So in other words, this is to say, if we bring in an outside person to help with a strategic assessment, we're probably going to seek someone that has background at a more corporate level or dealing with corporate issues rather than someone in a more junior position or role within a company that hasn't had that experience.
Mm-hmm.
So position means something. References from previous clients and or employers. So, in other words, we are willing to extend trust to an individual and credibility maybe based on the reports of others or from others for whom we have trust and have established credibility.
Mm-hmm.
Measurable past successes. Simply speaking, this is looking at where this individual may have performed other past assessments, and we want to be able to see that they've actually gotten measurable positive results from the recommendations they made. It would help us conclude that their recommendations and their conclusions are sound and helps build that trust and credibility. And lastly, and I think important to the formulation of any relationship is communication. And so our independent assessors have to be able to communicate clearly, understandably, and candidly. They've got to be able to deliver the tough message if needed in order to be credible. And that is something I've always been taught in the work of a professional services provider. To be that trusted advisor, you have to be able to be candid, and you have to be able to work with people and deliver even the tough message. And so that's critically important to just being trusted and being able to be credible.
Wow, Nathan, I tell you, this was really outstanding. I mean, you're barking up my tree here.
Well, I'm thinking maybe one of these times here soon, I'm going to need to be the one asking the questions, and I think you're going to be the one doing maybe the presenting.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Now, I've always been good at taking notes. So let's see if I can recap this. Okay.
Okay. Alrighty.
Now we stated that using independent assessors helps to strengthen the conclusions, recommendations, and decisions that are the products of the strategic analysis process.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
We also said that this improvement. These improvement columns from the additional knowledge and lack of bias these individuals have been performing this critical analysis. Now, this exists because these individuals are not biased by the organization's shared history and culture.
Mm-hmm.
They are less relationship driven or biased.
Mm-hmm.
Typically possess knowledge and experience beyond that resident within the organization. In particular, those learn from interactions with other similar companies.
That's right.
These individuals have significantly less employment impact risk for identifying organizational shortcomings.
Yes.
Now, we also suggested that these factors enhance the credibility independent assessors have with executives and managers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we also said that while independent assessors are often thought of as outside consultants hired by the organization to perform a particular evaluation, that they may also come from other sources, including government inspectors, benchmarking partners and peers, peer mentors from outside the organization,
mm-hmm.
and employees from other business units, departments, or crews not being assessed.
Yes.
Now, regardless of where the independent assessors come from, however, it is important that they be sufficiently removed from the organization so that they're not subject to the biases, comments of those within the group being evaluated. And they should also possess relevant knowledge and experience to be able to contribute to the evaluation being performed. Now, in summary, when selecting independent assessors, one should seek individuals possessing four primary characteristics, and here they are. Number one, independence. Number two, possession of relevant knowledge and experience. Number three, breadth of knowledge and experience. And finally, number four, reputation and trust.
Very That's important. Right. Oh, Did absolutely. I nail it? You got it. Perfect as always, sir.
All right.
Always good.
All right. Well, I tell you, this is a podcast worth reviewing over and over again.
Oh, it is. There's several of them in the independent, the strategic analysis area that, we call them strategic analysis best practices, but they are so applicable to so many areas, such as self-assessments and decision-making, that they're just so important and so broadly applicable.
Well, all right, my man. This has been a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to do another podcast with you. And I tell you, I'm looking forward to seeing the reviews, not only on Podcast Alley, but iTunes, because I know our listeners are going to do as you, or I should say we have asked.
I know.
Place your reviews. Give us your reviews. And I tell you, we are definitely looking forward to seeing those good, positive reviews.
Yeah, we've got great listeners, and I do think we can count on them for some great reviews.
All right. All right.
Okay.
Well, hey, have a good night, my friend.
You do the same.
This is again, and please tell your sweethearts, all of your beautiful family that we said hello, okay?
And you do the same with your sweetie.
Okay.
Okay. Take care, Howard. Thank you for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast. We would appreciate receiving your feedback by email at podcast@strategydriven.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider voting for us on Podcast Alley and visiting our website at www.strategydriven.com. Note that additional information regarding strategic analysis is contained within the Strategic Analysis White Paper, accessible by registered members on the Strategy Driven website. Registered members also gain access to the many Strategy Driven White Papers, models, and members-only categories, and registration is always free. Until next time, so long.